global struggle, doubly so because the enemy never discovered the game's role in their undoing. The use of Monopoly in spycraft, cover names, secret codes, and passwords, is fascinating. Its role in helping prisoners of war escape, profound. Two ultra-secret agencies ran the escape operations, Military Intelligence Section 9 in England, MI9, and Military Intelligence Service Department X, MISX, in the United States. Their aim was to smuggle into German prison camps, Stalags, the means for prisoners of war to escape. Every prisoner who crossed the wire and went on the run was referred to as an escaper. Those few who succeeded and made it home were referred to as escapees. The thousands of fleeing airmen shot down during missions over France and Germany and trying to evade capture were referred to as evaders. Escape lines determined to help the evaders and escapers get home sprang up in Western Europe, and MI9 and MISX provided vital aid to the brave men and mainly young women who manned these lines, placing their own lives in jeopardy. This story is not fictional. The protagonists and antagonists you will meet lacked the benefit of hindsight, were pledged to maintain secrecy, and approached the war uncertain of its outcome. The heroics and flaws of many dissimilar people were linked by Monopoly's secrets. A few were well known, like Air Force General Carl Spatz, Spymaster Alan Dulles, and Franklin Delano Roosevelt confidant Harry Hopkins. Some were ordinary people caught up in extraordinary times, like businessman Norman Watson, whose firm secretly loaded escape aids into Monopoly boards, Hal Clem, a college student turned radioman turned escape coordinator, and Imre Pinter, a Hungarian teenager whose chemist father hid Jews and suckered American spies in Budapest. Some are long lost to history, including Benoit Jean, the beautiful Monopoly spy and escape line helper, and British Captain Thomas Carr, the escapee she rescued and fell in love with. There were also heroines like Dede and Therese Bonnet, and one devastatingly effective traitor, Harold Cole, known as the Top Hat. You'll meet these and many others, their dialogue reconstructed from my interviews conducted over many years. One man experienced Monopoly's impact from start to finish. Ere Neve. His escape was the first aided by Monopoly, and his trajectory would cross the paths of all significant players, save one. An Oxford graduate and soldier in the British Expeditionary Force, Neve was a POW bad boy in 1941. Our story unquestionably begins with him as our calendar turns back. Chapter 1. Escape from Colditz. On this day in December 1941, snow fell steadily upon a team of prisoners loading packages onto a handcart at Leipziger Station. The eyes of armed guards followed their every movement until their squad leader ordered, "Gehen wir!" The guards quickly motioned with their rifles, eager to get back to the warmth of their messroom. The POWs pushed and pulled the load a quarter of a mile to Colditz Castle, Schloss Colditz, officially known as O-Flag 4. Once there, the boxes were arranged in stacks on a long table in the Vorlager, main entrance compound, and their inspection began. One package, secured by string and green wrapping paper, darkened to near black by the melting snow, contained three Monopoly games. A German censor peered at them and remarked to Lieutenant Jeremy Lash, "Shops in Germany must not sell this capitalist game." Most POWs at Colditz, including Lash, were British Army officers who had tried to escape from other POW camps. The Nazis had transferred them to this Renaissance castle perched atop a rocky outcrop above the Mulde River, believing O-Flag 4 to be inescapable. The Germans had a name for these incorrigibles,